Okay, we are in our last couple of weeks in the Stepping Out series as we move into the Easter season. And last week, we spoke about Moses' parents. This week, we're actually staying with the life of Moses. And what we're going to be looking at is arguably one of the greatest acts of his faith and one of his greatest acts of leadership. And as we focus on what Moses did, what he's highlighted for in terms of his faith, because this series is all about what pleases God. Faith is what pleases God. So what Moses did, I want to say before I say it, that this is also central and core to everything that we do as Christians. Like, today's message is so central to Christianity itself. And I can't tell you how important this message is to us, how powerful I'm praying that it would be to each and every one of us in a fresh and in a new way. Today's message is a really big deal. Every Christian should have a very deep grasp of this. And I want to say one other thing before I read the text to you. Remember, when you read these verses in Hebrews chapter 11, God is taking two verses, one verse, three verses, and he's covering like huge, a whole lifetime in some cases, many, many chapters of the Bible. And I always want to encourage you to go back, in this case, go into the book of Exodus and read the story. Read in Exodus chapter 12, or maybe a little bit before that. You could go from 1 to 12. Read the life of Moses. These things will enrich you, edify you, and build you up. Amen? Okay, so let's jump right into it. Two verses today. The Bible says, by faith, everybody say faith. Okay, this is a very unique, very important, very special kind of faith. It says, by faith, he kept the Passover and the application of the blood. By faith, he kept the Passover and the application of the blood. So let me just give you a little teaser here. Easter, this moment, what Moses did was a prophetic kind of precursor regarding the actual total culmination, not just of Christianity, but fulfillment of the plan of God. What he was doing was symbolic of what God was going to do through his son Jesus, because Jesus was the Passover lamb, and by his shedding of blood, hallelujah, you and I are forgiven and set free. Come on, somebody say amen. This was really, really powerful. It says, by faith, he kept the Passover and the application of the blood, so that the destroyer of the firstborn would not touch the firstborn of Israel. We're going to unpack that. And then there's a part two to this. By faith, the people passed through the Red Sea as on dry land, but when the Egyptians tried to do so, they were drowned. Two huge facets of faith that really combine into one. And what Moses did, what he became kind of, quote, famous for, was that he led Israel by faith into God's determined deliverance for the nation of Israel. Everybody say deliverance. Deliverance. God delivered Israel. The title of today's message is Faith Pursues Deliverance. Come on, somebody say deliverance. I'm here to tell you, God wants to deliver his people. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He wants to deliver minds and hearts and families. He wants to deliver literally generations. All of these things happened when this took place For the nation of Israel, our God is a delivering God. This is huge. This is very, very powerful. And what we have to understand is, what is deliverance? Here's what deliverance is. Deliverance is receiving God's forgiveness and freedom. You see, he applied the blood for forgiveness, but they walked across the Red Sea. They came up against this obstacle. They left Egypt. They were slaves in Egypt, right? The blood was applied. I'm going to unpack this, but the blood was applied. Judgment hit Egypt, but not the Israelites. Pharaoh finally let them go. He lets them go, and they kept on walking. How many of you know God saves us and forgives us so that we walk out of Egypt? And even when you come up against the Red Sea, even when you come up against an obstacle, he says, you have an obstacle, I have a plan. I will break that sea open for your life, and you will move into freedom. A lot of people settle for forgiveness when God wants forgiveness and freedom. God wants freedom for his people. Amen. Jesus said, I came. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But I came that you might have life. How does life start? It comes through forgiveness of sin. But he says, and life to the full, life to abundant, the free life, the full life. How many want the full life of God? God has a full freedom for his people. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And too many believers accept forgiveness but don't pursue freedom. Now let me break that down a little bit more, and then we'll pray. So look, nationally, here's what happens. They were slaves for 400 years in Egypt. God raises up Moses. Moses is a type of Christ known as a deliverer. Moses goes in, 10 plagues. Each of those plagues corresponded to one of the Egyptian gods, by the way. And God was showing he was greater than all their gods. So you need to understand, no matter what kind of power you think is resident on this earth, it could be a political power, it could be a spiritual power, it could be an emotional, it could be some kind of paternal, I don't care what it is, it could be some sort of addiction, whatever that power is that might be limiting your life, I'm telling you right now, Jesus' power is greater than that power. Greater is he that is in us than he that's in the world. So that's why they were 10 plagues, because they had all of these gods. And he said, I'm going to take your top 10 gods, and I'm going to show you I am greater than those gods. But the culmination was so significant. On the last night, he says to Pharaoh, this is the last time you're going to see me. And God says to Moses, here's what I want you to do. I want you to have every family sacrifice a lamb. And there's a lot more. I'm giving you the high notes. Sacrifice a lamb. And you're going to cook the lamb. You're going to eat the lamb. You're going to eat it in haste, because you know as soon as you finish eating this, in a sense, God's going to send judgment, and then you're going to go. Okay, you're going to be heading on out. And that's exactly what Moses did. Moses had every family. Imagine if tonight, let's go and put yourself there. It's good to picture yourself. So there's like, I don't know, 3 million people in Chicago proper, más o menos, right? More or less. And there probably were, I don't know, a couple million Israelites. And every Israelite home, they said, look, sacrifice the lamb and eat the lamb, and then put the blood over your doorpost, put blood on it. And that night, the angel of the Lord, which was known as the destroyer, when he passes over, if he sees the blood over your house, guess what he'll do? He'll pass over you. But if he doesn't see the blood, judgment will come, and the firstborn of every home will be taken away. Now, what's sobering about this, brothers and sisters, is that judgment is real. You see, and this is not bad news. Because if you get the blood and the blood is free, then there's no judgment. How many know that's why we're here? That's why we're celebrating all of this. If you're searching, if you are one of those people who are searching, right, I just want you to know there is no better explanation for the plight of man than this one. And there is no more marvelous mercy and love story than this one. Because no other religion, no other philosophy reveals where God himself says, because you can't be righteous, I will suffer the punishment for you. There's nothing like this. You understand? There's nothing like this. And all you have to do is get in that house, right? So think about it this way. If an Egyptian said, you know what? I've been watching. When this thing got to about plague six, some Egyptians started to say, yo, these people are onto something. You know what? They got blood over their house. I'm going to go knock on their door and see if I could get in that house. And if they let me in, you realize, if an Egyptian got under the blood, kids were protected, family was protected. You know why? Because the gospel, the work of Christ, see, Christ was the sacrificial lamb. So what was symbolic to each family, Jesus was that lamb for all of the world. The Bible says, for God so loved the world. Aren't you thankful you could be Egyptian, you could be Puerto Rican, you could be Filipino, you could be wherever you come from, it doesn't really matter. What really matters is coming under the blood, is accepting Jesus, is celebrating what Jesus has done. Hallelujah. Wow. Thank you, Lord, that you would send your one and only son to die for me. Anybody here thankful that he died for you? I'm so grateful. When Jesus started on the scene, they said, John the Baptist said, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. So that in Exodus was pointing toward the moment that Jesus would come. And you have to understand this, okay? The blood is universal. What Jesus did was for everyone. You see, now, he didn't forgive them so that they could stay there. He forgave them to release them into greater levels of freedom. Okay? So they were not supposed to build their lives in Egypt. He had a promised land. And I want to pray right now because I'm telling you right now, God has promises for you. Promises to bless you, promises to provide for you. Come on, somebody, promises to set you free, promises to build your life, promises to make you a blessing. So as I pray today, I want to pray that we receive the fullness of Christ and his purposes for our lives. The fullness of the becoming journey is right here. Real faith pursues the complete deliverance of God, which means forgiveness and freedom. So let me pray. Father, thank you for this time. Beautiful service, Lord. I pray for my brothers and sisters who are watching online. God, for everyone in this room. Lord, only you know what's going on in each heart. Only you know the struggles of Egypt. Only you know the challenges of faith. But God, would you draw near to us? And Lord, would you, God, I pray for the anointing that breaks yokes in this house right now. I pray for supernatural anointing, Lord, just like in last service, God, that people, Lord, like that person who threw their vape pen down, they just left it here at the altar. God, let bags of weed be left at the altar. Let things be left at the altar today. Break, oh God, break. We pray for freedom in the name of Jesus. Because whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Do it, Lord, in marriages and hearts, Lord, in every way. In the mighty name of Jesus, all God's people said, amen. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. So let me clarify that. So nationally, he did this for the nation. When Jesus came on the scenes, even though when Jesus walked on the earth, he came here to activate the new covenant. There's two covenants. There's the Old Testament, there's the New Testament. The Old Testament, you had to live by the rules of the law, and all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We couldn't fulfill the law. That's why Jesus came. But when Jesus was on the earth, there were many, many people that he encountered, and this is for our benefit. They were literally possessed by the devil, right? They were full of the devil. But even though they were full of the devil, when Jesus came on the scene, the devil would start to scream, the devil would start to shout, the devil was afraid of God, the devil would give honor to God. It's a crazy thing how Satan will give more glory to God sometimes than the people of God. But the devil would acknowledge his lordship, his kingship, his greatness, and guess what Jesus would say? He would say, "Be gone right now by my authority." God has the authority to drive out the devil out of any place, any corner, any situation. There is no devil that can stand against our God. You don't have to be afraid of voodoo or hoodoo or whatever anybody wants to put on you. Come on, we belong to King Jesus. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Well, watch this. Watch this. This is a very interesting thing. And then I'll unpack this quickly, but now, Christians, right? Christians, when you accept Jesus as Lord and Savior, Christ moves in, and he never shares rooms with the devil. Okay? Jesus will never do a roommate situation with Satan. If he's there, Satan's out. Right? You know, the Bible says, "I saw Satan fall like lightning." The minute, even before anything was here, the minute that sin entered into the presence of God, he cast them out like lightning. Satan cannot dwell. That's why the demons would scream and shout. They can't bear the presence of the holy master of the universe. Okay? So, are Christians demon-possessed? No. However, Christians can be so weak in Christ that they can be oppressed, they can be influenced, they can be manipulated by the devil. So you're like, how could this be a Christian, right? Well, if someone gives their life to Christ, right, but doesn't pursue the things of God, you understand? Because you're supposed to grow in God. You're supposed to root in God. You're supposed to feed. Man shall not live on bread alone, but by every word. If you don't read your Bible, you're going to be a spiritual weakling. And when you're getting beat up by the devil and you don't understand why he's so influential, it's because you're not filling yourself with Christ in us, the hope of glory. Come on, somebody say amen. Here's what this means. What it means is that it's possible to be a Christian, but to not be pursuing freedom even though you have forgiveness. So some people are stuck. Some people are plateaued because they're not operating faith. Faith pursues total deliverance. So I know, my wife knows, that God's becoming journey for us is not over. There's still more breakthrough. You know, there's more breakthrough for me. There's more breakthrough for her. There's more breakthrough for all of us. How many would say amen? Hallelujah. Okay, so let's look at what actually pursuing deliverance by faith. What does this passage teach us? Okay, the first thing that it teaches us is that faith applies the blood. Everybody say faith applies the blood. Real faith applies the blood. Real faith applied the blood to the doorposts back then. And guess what? We can keep on applying the blood of Jesus to our lives. Do you apply the blood? Do you honor and regard the blood by getting the blood consistently on your heart? Our hearts need the blood. How many know? Our hearts can go astray all the time. And when it goes astray, when you fail God, when you say what you shouldn't have said, when you do what you shouldn't have done, we have an advocate with the Father. We can run to Jesus and say, Jesus, wash me with your blood. Forgive me, Lord. How many are thankful? We have the blood, but you got to apply the blood. Christians that don't apply the blood are not really exalting the power of what Christ has done. Faith applies the blood, you see? And so you have to keep going to God and getting his cleansing and his forgiveness. The blood of Christ represents his provision and protection so that we can actually live in under the forgiveness of God. See, the blood, men, look, men have their standards of justice, but so does God. A lot of people think that God is not just. God is very just, okay? And in the end, God will settle all accounts. We will all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. That's what the Bible says. Everyone's going to have to give an account for their behavior on the earth. Every one of us. However, before we come to the judgment seat, we have access through Jesus to the blood. Look at what the Bible says here. It says, in fact, the law requires... Right, this is in the book of Hebrews. It says, in fact, the law requires that nearly everything be cleansed with everyone blood. And without the shedding of blood, read this with me, there is no forgiveness. The only way to be forgiven is through the blood of Jesus Christ. Right? And real faith understands that. So you have to understand, when God forgives somebody who's really, really bad, and you're like, how could God forgive that person? It's because he met the standard of justice by putting his innocent son on the cross for that really, really bad person, which includes you and me. You understand? All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. How many know no one is righteous? Sometimes we think we're nicer than someone, but guess what? We are all evil and broken in our hearts without Jesus. How many are grateful for the blood of Jesus? You should be clapping a lot more. Say, don't be telling me I'm evil. Yes! Real faith applies the blood. The blood meets the standard. Okay? The holy standard of God, true justice, took place at the cross so that you could be forgiven when you fail. You understand? That's the way it is. And that's what they did. And remember, it was universal coverage. And so we as Christians, if we're going to really walk in faith, and I'm going to tell you right now, the application of the blood of Christ is the doorway to the great miracles of God in your life. That's why Jesus would say all the time, your sins are forgiven. Your sins are forgiven. Your sins are forgiven. Sin creates a dividing wall. Jesus came to tear down the dividing wall. So here's kind of some four simple ways to apply the blood. First of all, you and I can apply the blood to our home. Now, let me explain what I mean by this. I'm not saying go home, kill a lamb, and put blood on your door. I want you to catch the spirit of this. So in Exodus 12, 25, here's what God said to them. He said, when you enter the land that the Lord will give you as he promised, observe this ceremony. Keep applying the blood. Don't forget to keep the Passover, right? Their Passover is like our communion, and Easter is why we take communion. It's because Jesus offered himself. He shed his blood on the cross, right? So watch this. It says, and when your children ask you, what does this ceremony mean to you? Like, why are we doing this? Why are we doing this, dad or mom? Right? It says, then tell them, it is the Passover sacrifice to the Lord who passed over the houses of the Israelites in Egypt and spared our homes. Everybody say, our homes. Look, our homes when he struck down the Egyptians. In other words, we can have the kind of homes that our kids, and by the way, you know, I was thinking about this. Like, the one good thing that came of COVID, and I could only think of one right now, the one good thing that came of COVID is that people started to take communion in their homes. Because we typically would take communion together, but we were encouraging people to take communion in their homes. You know, in the Passover, each family would do this, and I want to encourage you, right? It's okay to say, hey, we're going to take communion. We're going to read the Bible. We're going to tell the Passover story, and we're gonna take communion. We're going to remember what Jesus did for us. And so there's a way that you apply the blood to your home by raising your kids and saying, listen, you see what we have here? You see how blessed we are? You see how good things are? You know why? It's not because we're good. It's because God is merciful. We are under the mercy of God. God is so kind. He's so forgiving. He's so loving. Hallelujah. Because of the blood. When your kids mess up, you say, that's okay. There's the blood of Jesus. Right while I was speaking, I was reminded of two different instances with my son Tommy. Once we were doing devos, we were in my bedroom. All the kids were, you know, real little. Tommy, our youngest, he's probably like five. I'm assuming he's about 5 years old. We're all on the bed. We would read like a verse. Like, look, don't preach like, you know, 49-minute sermons to your kids. Okay? It's got to be like 2 minutes and 30 seconds and you're out. You know what I'm saying? So anyway, we did this quick devo. I don't know. I don't remember anything. But at a certain point, the conviction of God hit Tommy. So he's 5 years old, and he started going, whoa! He started wailing like, whoa! I was like, what in the world happened here? And it was so deep. I said, okay, clear the room. I got to find out what this is. You know? It's like, what did you do, bro? You know? Anyway, I don't know. I don't remember what it was. Maybe he told a lie or ate cereal when I told him not to. The reason why I'm tempted to believe that is because story number two. When he was about the same age, we went to Chrissy's dad's mom and dad's house for Christmas. They had this chocolate ginger bread tree, and all of these treats on a table, and I said to Tommy, as soon as we got there, I looked at the table, and I said, you don't have to be a prophet to see what's coming, right? So I said, yo, no candy until after dinner. You'll get candy, but no candy until after dinner. So anyway, we're fellowshipping, all that, and then I hear, so I go around the corner, he's like weeping, go around the corner, he had chocolate all over his face. That brother was like, he took a bath in that thing. Took a deep jump, right? Like, how many know when there's chocolate all over our faces, there is blood to cleanse us and to wash us clean. Hallelujah. Raise your home under the context, the covering of the blood of Jesus. It's wonderful. It's powerful. How many say amen? Here's another way to apply the blood. The way you apply the blood is you apply it to regain the favor of God. Because when you sin, you kind of fall out of favor. If you're walking in sin, he loves you, but you're not in the favor of God. You understand? So watch what the Bible says. It says, whoever conceals their sin does not prosper. You could be successful, but that doesn't mean you're blessed. You could be successful, but be empty. You could be successful, but have children that are depressed. You could be successful and be surrounded by unhappiness. How many know we have access to something better, to something greater? You know, but however, it takes the favor of God, and you apply the blood so that you could just have the favor of God on your life. You see, it says, whoever conceals their sin does not prosper, but the one who confesses and renounces them finds mercy. His mercies are new every morning. There's a fresh start. There's fresh favor for you and I. Anybody happy that there's new favor from the one who's rich in mercy? Hallelujah. If you're out of the favor of God, okay, you're not out of the love of God. Well, you could be out of the favor of God, and you know it, right? Can I tell you something? Confess your sin. Come under the blood. Jesus, the Holy Spirit didn't allow Jesus to die and raise him from the dead to criticize you. He came to help you. But you have to confess. You have to come under the blood. Two more very quickly. Apply the blood quickly to forgive others. Let me know, the blood is not just for you, it's for the people who hurt you. The blood is not just for you, it's for the people who offend you. So funny, there's so many amens before, but right now there's no amens. But this is true. Look at what the Bible says, right? It says, a person's wisdom yields patience. It's to one's glory to overlook an offense. So a lot of times people don't forgive other people because they feel like, if I forgive them, then I'm belittling what they did. No, that's not what you're doing. What you're doing is applying the blood to what they did, and you're leaving God to settle all of those accounts. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. It's not ours. So leave that to God. But look, if you go to work tomorrow or tonight, and there's somebody in your office or on your staff or whatever it is, and they do something that just... You know what you're going to say? You're going to say, I'm just going to apply the blood to that one. I'm going to forgive them. Right? You know? So I just hear people talking, honey, what are you doing? Oh, I'm applying the blood right now. Why are you over there in that corner right there? Oh, just applying the blood. Give me a minute. Let's apply the blood. Right? Let's forgive people. How many know we all need mercy and forgiveness? Somebody say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. This is such a powerful thing, such a wonderful thing. And then here's the last thing. Okay? You apply the blood to clean out your mess. Now, I'll be honest with you. I don't like the way that sounds, but I'm going to explain to you how I mean it, so you'll get it. I don't want to sound irreverent, but, you know, sometimes, I don't know if you're like this, but sometimes you might find yourself in a situation or in a room that is just so messy that you're like, I can't be productive until I clean this up, you know? So, you know, my wife was talking about calendars. My wife says, my wife does devos. It's like the room is sterilized when my wife does devos. It's like the door has to be closed. Hey, could you move that curtain thing over there? Like, I mean, she's like real. And she's like, I think better like that. Her dad is like that too. And you know, spiritually speaking, right, there's this, think about this. Spiritually speaking, there's a mental, emotional, and at times even physical carryover from the sinful messes of our life. You understand? It's like there's a carryover. When you're walking in sin, when you're living in sin, you're down and your life feels so chaotic. And look, if you're living in chaos, if you just doing all the right wrong things and it's just a mess, what do you do? Watch this. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive our sins. And watch this. And purify us from, ready, all unrighteousness. All, everybody say all unrighteousness. all unrighteousness. When we come to God, no matter how crazy it is, how many are thankful, the blood of Jesus cleans all of the mess. Come on, let him clean all of the mess. Let him wash away all of the mess. Hallelujah. If you're in a mess, come to the Lord. Let the blood of Jesus wash all of the mess away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Only Christians have access to that kind of promise of forgiveness and help and strength and redirection and mercy and newness. Wow. What an amazing God we serve. I hope you're applying the blood of Jesus. Here's the second thing that they did, right? Here's what real faith does. It's demonstrated in this passage. Real faith walks. Everybody say walks. Real faith walks towards freedom. Okay? The physical symbolism has a lot of spiritual ramifications. Okay? When God sets you free, when he washes away your sin, what are you supposed to do? When you're a slave in Egypt and you're bound by something and he washes you clean, he opens those prison doors, what does he want you to do? What did he want them to? He wants you to walk out of Egypt, walk away from Egypt, walk into the promised land. And if you happen along the way, because that's the way it is, you come against the Red Sea, don't fear, don't be intimidated, because he is strong enough to part the Red Sea on your behalf. You got to keep walking. Keep walking by faith. They walked through the Red Sea. They walked through the Red Sea. This is a big deal. Look at what God did. Almost done here. Look at what God did for them. God made a way for the Israelites, number one, to avoid judgment. How? By keeping the Passover and applying the blood. Number two, what did he do? He enabled them. He made a way for them to depart Egypt. You see, so you may be hooked on drugs, like you might be hooked on alcohol, you might be hooked on weed, you might be hooked on pornography, you might be hooked on this or hooked on that, whatever it is, right? Somebody came to the altar today, they brought their vaping pen and they threw that thing down because God is able to break the power of whatever you and I might be hooked on. He's able. He's able so that you can depart from Egypt. You don't have to live in Egypt anymore. It doesn't matter if your grandfather, your great-grandfather, your father, doesn't matter what they did, they could have all been womanizers, they could have all been this, they could have all been that. But if anyone is in Christ, hallelujah, he is a new creation. The old is gone. Behold, the new has come. Depression, confusion, whatever it is. We walk. Everybody say walk. I don't want you to forget. You got to walk towards freedom. You got to walk away from Egypt. You got to walk through. When God deals with those obstacles, you got to walk on. You understand? You got to walk away from certain people. You got to walk away from certain relationships. You got to walk away from certain behaviors. That's what they did. Amen? Look, he also made a way for them to be rid of their enemies. Whom the Son sets free is what? Free indeed. We're not talking about half freedom. We're not talking about quarter freedom. We're talking about total freedom. If anyone is in Christ, they can be totally free. Somebody say amen. I believe that. My faith says yes. So look, I've put this illustration up. If you've taken DNA, you've seen this illustration. I've put it up before, but I want to put it up today. I want to talk about deliverance in general, okay? So all kind of bondage, all kinds of being in prison, all kinds of being stuck, it's circular. All problems are circular. all solutions are linear. Why? Because there comes a point where there's a break in the cycle. And when the cycle is broken, guess what starts to happen? You start to walk away from Egypt. You start to walk away from bondage. How many would say amen? In other words, there's this progression, right? There's this progression to your freedom. And I didn't get to say this last serve. I want to say it now. Can I tell you something I've noticed? When we don't walk towards freedom, we get lazy. We just stay in our stuckness, right? And here's another thing that happens, and this happened with the Israelites, okay? And when we get lazy, we start to grumble. The Israelites were always grumbling about something. Instead of talking about being delivered from Egypt, they was always talking about, why don't we go back to Egypt? Okay? I hope you're not grumbling, right? Because if you're grumbling all the time, you know what's wrong with the church? This is wrong with the church. You know what's wrong with these people? This is wrong, that wrong, that. Everything's wrong except you. Come on and preach it. Preach. No, no, no. All right. So, right? So the truth of the matter is that we need to recognize that the Holy Spirit, by the power of the blood of God, He breaks that prison that you go around and around, and you're the same place you were 6 months ago and the same place you were 6 years ago, in the name of Jesus, not in 2025. In 2025, we're walking. We are walking towards freedom. Your marriage, your mind, your ministry. You understand? Now, I want to bring this home. So I'm going to ask the singers to come. If the singers, because I'm going to tell you that this really speaks to all of our lives. I want them to take their place real quick. Come on, move on up here for a second. How long have you been married, brother?
It has been 12 years. 17 years.
Supply the blood right now. See? Instant. Yes. It works. Yes. Just a slip of the tongue. Sorry. Just slip of the tongue. Yes. So look. Amen. This is a man of God. Amen. Right? Called of God. He and his wife serve here. They're wonderful people. But whatever the Lord has done to bring him to where he is doesn't mean that God doesn't have new places of breakthrough and freedom. Amen. How many would say amen? Amen? God wants his marriage to get better. God wants his ministry to get better. How many know there are new levels of anointing for his life? How many would say amen? It's the same thing for my sister. So I've been announced she's single. So, no, right? But look, whether you're single, there are married struggles, married challenges. There are challenges of being single. But as a single woman of God, right? Look, she's got a ministry. She's doing something. But how many know God has more for her? How many believe the Lord has more for her? This is for all of them. This is a woman of God. Our husband. How long have you guys been in our church?
12 years.
It's okay if you don't get that one right. This, right? So these are godly people. But that doesn't mean that the Holy Spirit, when she's reading her Bible, might be whispering, saying, you know what? I've got more for you. I want to use you. You know what? You're doing great here, but you're stuck here. You've been stuck for far too long. I want to move you out. I want a new level of anointing. There's a new impact that I want to make. And I won't leave out my middle one. This, I said, this one belongs to me. She actually belongs to Andy now. Pastor Mike corrected me. But she still does the wrong thing. Right? So look, Annie, when she was a teenager, she ran from the Lord. Then she found her way back to God. It was her and God. Right? She's married now. She's in ministry. She led us today. You know, so much gifting. But you realize that she can get stuck. You know, one of the things I used to tell my kids all the time, this is for Christian kids. Well, I used to say this, don't get Solomonitis. Okay? So Solomon watched David. Solomon was the wisest guy in the world, right? But if you read Ecclesiastes, he said, I took it upon myself to figure out everything under the sun. But his father was focused on what was above the sun. You know, and Solomon fell astray because he got caught up with the wrong stuff. You understand? And so there's a lot, you know, when you're in a ministry kid, and I got to stop this because we got to send you home, but listen, when you're a ministry kid, you know so much about ministry. Praise God. However, if Annie doesn't seek God, if Annie doesn't listen to God, doesn't matter who her father, grandfather, none of those things matter. She can be limited. You understand? I want to point out this, brother, because I heard, I got the, before service started, I got the info on everybody. So he's single, but he's dating a girl. However, her dad is a karate, like martial artist, black belt. He better walk carefully while he's walking, right? Everyone's life is different. But I'm going to tell you right now, everyone's life is different, but God has more. Come on, somebody say amen. Let's not be the kind of church that aren't hungry for God's best. How many want to become everything? I mean everything that God predetermined, predestined for us to be. Anybody here want to become more than ever before? Could I see your hands? Don't you want to become more? Hallelujah. If you want to become, two things. You apply the blood, but then you walk towards the greater levels of freedom. What is God asking you to walk towards? Right? What is God saying? I want you to deal with this thing. You know, you're doing great here. Well, you're so afraid. How many know God has financial freedom for some people in this room? You know, God has emotional freedom for some people in this room. Come on, somebody say amen. No more depression. No more depression. No more depression in the name of Jesus. Doesn't matter what it is. He's able to part the Red Sea.